So I've been doing some research, if you can believe it, on the subject of hope. And the reason this is interesting to me is because it turns out that hope can be taught, or modeled, or patterned, or encouraged, and I didn't really know that. I mean, I think some of what I've been doing in this sober world, in the sober podcasting, has been talking about how to change what we think. I never really did any research on what that meant, or as you probably know by now, I do things sort of by instinct and by feedback from people listening. But one of the things, the most interesting things that I've learned so far, and I will share more with you as I learn more, is that people who are more successful in life at things, so let's use sobriety as an example, but it could be something else. If you're long-term sober, then you will apply this to something else. And if you're not long-term sober, you will apply this to being sober. People who are successful at things have two characteristics. They have the ability to start, and they can see how to get there. So you need both things. I have a goal is one. I mean, let's assume you have a goal, right? Like, I want to be sober. Or I want to have more friends. Or I want to open a restaurant. Step number one is to have the ability to start and to do the work that's required. Because lots of people have ideas. Well, here's the thing, right? What you need is both the ability to start and a way of figuring out what to do next. And so you can imagine there's people who are some one or the other, but not both. Someone will have an idea, but can't start. I often call these people lurkers on my site. If you are listening, you know the goal. You know pretty much what you need to do to get there. You don't begin because you're lacking some of the spark that is required to start. More commonly, what I see is people who start, but don't have the path. They begin, but then they reset and they don't know what to change. So they are at the starting line. You have emailed me, you're here, or you've signed up for the class, or you've acknowledged what the goal is, and you're able to begin, but you don't know what the steps might be. And there's people with neither. There's people with no ability to begin and nowhere to start. And that, and no plan on how to go. But generally, I think the people who are in my audience are already, either know that they need to do it, or they're ready to start but don't know what to do. It's one or the other. The people who are without a plan and without the spark to begin, I think, are not listening at all. I may be wrong. You'll email me and tell me. The fourth group is someone who has a path and the spark to begin and goes. What I didn't realize is that this pathway thinking can be taught. That you can't, because you've heard me say this, that you want to be sober is good, you're here. That you're ready to begin is good, you're here. That you don't know what to do next is okay, you can learn that. You learn it from somebody else who's already done it. You follow somebody else's steps or plans or one by paint by numbers until you get more confidence and can see the patterns and can see what happens. But it turns out that this happens in people's lives in every aspect of their life. Not just with sobriety. So if you come to the sober table with, I'm ready to begin, but I don't have any idea what to do, and I don't know how to figure out what to do, you maybe also have that same way of thinking about some other challenge in your life. I know what I want to do. I'm ready to begin. I don't know how to figure out what to do. What I didn't realize was that I was a person who could see the path and can generally make myself begin. I probably fall into the category of being able to see the way through and being able to adapt when things don't go the way that they're supposed to go. I don't always have enough push to start, but I seem to not run out of ideas for adaptation and like dealing with obstacles and overcoming hurdles once I get going. I perhaps, maybe like you, stand on the sidelines a bit too long thinking about all of the ways through something versus beginning and then seeing what happens. And this, you know, this happens in the sober world, this happens with my fiction writing, it happens with catering, it happens with everything. The reason this is interesting to me today, I think, is somebody accused me before of selling hope. And then somebody else came to my defense and said, actually, if you could teach hope to people, it would be a good thing. And maybe that's what you do when you, Bell, when you talk about problem solving or you talk about things in your own life and you talk about how you think through the solution to the problem. And this is what got me going off onto this hope research thing, because I didn't actually think I had any special thinking process. I didn't think I had any particular ability to do this or anything else like this. But people would say to me, you know, I like how you describe your blah because then I learn something about it. And I think, but doesn't everybody think like this? Of course, this is so egocentric, right? You're having an experience. You assume it's the same experience for every other person on the planet without considering or listening very carefully, really carefully listening to what the other person is saying so that you realize, I realize now, what I hear most often from you in a coaching call, in an email, is I know what I want, I don't know how to get there. And if I suggest something, you're most likely to say, yeah, I can't do that. There's my little notification going off. You know that notification, right? That's my telephone. Most commonly, people can't see how to begin, refine the process. If that didn't work, try something else. Be stubborn with the goal. Be flexible on the approach. Mostly what happens is, I don't know where to start. And I'm over here going, well, start with this or this or this, or this or this or this, or maybe that, or do a bit of this, or try that, or did you try that, or what about this? And what we do is we stand there and say, no, no, never, never, no, no, no. All those things won't work for me, but we're not in motion and we're not actually trying. Oh, look, there's my other notification. That's the new email notification. An important banking notice from the Royal Bank of Canada, where I do not have an account, telling me I need to reset my password. Okay, I'll try and mute these things now so they stop yelling at me. The reason I'm sharing this with you today is because I am finding in my reading about hope that I see you and me in this book, and I see people who are more successful at being long-term sober as people who can begin and who can flexibly adapt to the things that come up, continuing onwards towards the goal. So imagine, you know, you're sober, you're on day 61, something bad happens, you deal with the bad thing, that teaches you resilience, that makes it easier to go forward. This is the whole thing about self-esteem being the achieving of esteemable acts. I have a separate podcast about this, about self-esteem. So then you're on day 361 and you have an obstacle and you figure out how to go around it. And if your natural default setting is not to know what to do to go around it, then you ask somebody. Because there cannot be anything more frustrating than to be stuck with the will to want a goal and not know how to get it. There can't be anything more demoralizing, depressing. There can't be anything more depressing than knowing what you want and not knowing how to get it. And so if you can't problem solve to see how to get it from where you're standing, either because you don't have familiarity enough with the subject, because this is a pattern for you in general, because it's so foggy where you are that you can't see anything, so you don't even know which way is up, then you ask somebody. Because to be alone in your head with, I have a cool goal that I'm totally capable of achieving, but I don't know how to get it, to live in that place, to me as a person who is a problem solver, to me that doesn't make any sense. Like to me, it doesn't make, like empirically, it doesn't make sense. If you don't know what to do, then you ask somebody. What I'm finding now is that when that's not your default setting, you can actually be taught it, which I think is so incredibly cool because it is like, oh, my feet are nailed to the floor. Okay, well then hire somebody who has, I don't know, pliers and a crowbar thing and undo that. Oh, I didn't know I could do that. Well, did you call anybody? Did you try? Did you ask? How many people did you ask? How many people did you go see? And I was at a catering event this weekend and somebody, is that true? Where did this start? No, I was at physio for my stupid sore shoulder on Friday. So today's Monday. So 3 days ago. Is that true? It doesn't even matter. Who cares? I was at physio some number of days ago and we were talking about running and I told her that I was a really slow runner and she's like, oh no, I'm slower than you. This is the, you know, the tiny, sprite, lithe, thin, athletic looking physio girl who's like, I don't know, 27. And she says, no, I'm slower than you. And I think, well, that's probably not likely. And she says, no, I can't run more than 3 minutes. I just don't have, I must have tiny lungs. And it's so disappointing. She said, I tried it a couple of times and it's so distressing that I just don't do it. And so I said to her, have you tried taking a learn to run class? Have you tried having a coach? Have you tried doing the walk for 2 minutes, run for one? No, I haven't tried any of that. I just suck at this. Do you suck at it because you empirically actually suck at it? Or do you suck at it because you've decided in advance without trying any of the things that you suck at it? So I said to her, you know, I took a learn to run class 17 years ago because it was my year 2000 New Year's resolution. And at that time I was still smoking and I wanted to learn to run. So I signed up for a learn to run clinic, which is held through one of the sneaker stores. And you start off by walking for 2 minutes, running for one. And that was the first night. You repeat that, I don't know, 7 times or something. And I couldn't run for 1 minute. Not only because of smoking, but because I had literally no athletic history at all. I was a couch potato drinker. My idea of exercise was to use the remote control. I had no ability to run for a minute. So I told my physio this and she's like, oh, and you learned? And I'm like, well, yeah, but you got to go as slow as you need to go to keep making progress. But you can't be frustrated with however slow it takes as long as you're moving forward. This reminds me of my previous podcast about traveling with two L's. As long as you're moving forward, you're getting there. And so she said, the physio said, I mean, this is, you know, a professional businesswoman has her own small practice, has obviously got some levels of education. She says to me, so what you're saying then is that it's all mental. And I'm like, it's all mental. It's always all mental. It's always about the messages we tell ourselves about what we're capable of. It's always, and she's like, yeah, but some people have small lungs. I'm like, that's empirically not you. You don't even know that that's true. You've decided that's true. Maybe you need to go more slowly. So then I continued to tell her the story of how I went to the coach of the running thing. And I said to him, I am clearly the slowest person in here. I can't run for a minute. Would it be okay with you if I stay in this class? Otherwise, I would have to be downgraded to the learn to walk class, which was a different class than the one I was in, which was learn to run. And I said to him, now this is 17 years ago. I don't even know how I had the ability to do this. But I said to him, you know what? I'm good at a lot of things in my life and I suck at this. And I think it's okay that I suck at it. I want to learn how to do it. You know, sort of like taking adult swimming lessons. Because it's not about I suck. It's about, is there a way to move from sucking into something else? You don't just accept that you suck at swimming and then stand there or flail. And you don't just say, I suck at being sober and then stand there. Because not being able to swim, though it may kill you if you fall off a boat, will not kill you if you're in your apartment. Whereas overdrinking can. And so there's some, like, imperative necessity, requirement, not to mention self-esteem thing that you solve by being sober, and that you don't know how to do it yet doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. It just means that you haven't yet got the ability to see the path and then to see an obstacle and then to see another path. Like, if I can't get it this way, then I'll go that way. And if that doesn't work out, then I'll do something else. But I'm not going to not do it. And my father always used to say that I was determined, and I said I was desperate. I'm not sure that they're different. I really wanted the thing. I really wanted the goal. So much so that an obstacle wasn't going to stop me. You could call that stubborn even. And I know that you have some of that in you. I know you do, because boozers in general, as a group, we have this don't want to, can't make me kind of stubbornness, which is totally okay, so long as you apply it to the goal of being sober, as opposed to, I'm different, your stuff doesn't work for me. Which, as you can see, is the other side of the same coin. There's nothing the matter with being doggedly determined so long as you're making forward progress. And if you're not, that you solicit help, feedback, encouragement from people who are and do. It's the same as the running thing. If I had left that class and gone home and said to myself, I will learn to run myself and then go back to that class, I wouldn't have done it. I mean, of course I wouldn't have. So as it was, the rest of the story, and I told the physio chick this because I realized I was talking about this idea of perseverance when you can't see the path. And the idea of soliciting external support when you can't see the path. And I said to her that I told the guy, can I stay in the class? He said yes. But then when we would do these runs, you'd had to like run for 3 minutes, walk for one. And then the next week it was run for 4 minutes, walk for one. Within a couple of weeks, it became clear that I couldn't keep up at all. And the group would be way off ahead of me. And so the coach ended up having to get a bicycle so that he could cycle between where the group was and where I was at the back. And then where the group was and then where I was at the back. Now, that's a really accommodating coach. The other thing is that for the people in the group, I'm modeling perseverance, although that was not my intent, but that's it. That is what I'm doing. And for the people in the group, when I am finally successful at running 10 minutes straight, they're disproportionately happy for me, because, you know, it's sort of like some large, you know, like the slowest person making a large, we make larger personal jumps than the elite person trying to shave a tenth of a second off their time. I mean, for me, I went from less than a minute to 20 minutes straight, and it took, I don't know, 10 weeks or something. 8 weeks. I don't remember the length of the class. I'd have to look it up. I think it was 10 if I had to guess. And I did it, but I needed to be slow and I needed my own timer and I needed the guy to cycle back to me. And I needed to be okay with the fact that I didn't know it. I don't know how I got that. I don't know how. I mean, the example that I remember I gave the coach was, I'm a fast typist. That was my point of reference. I pulled up something that I was very good at. I type 130 words a minute, which is stupidly fast. And so I said to him, you know what? I type 130 words a minute and I suck at this. So I want to stay. Figuring somehow that I would teach myself a lesson about once in a while doing something that you suck at so that you can be successful, so that it will change everything. Like, do you know what happens when you achieve the thing that you believed up until that second that you sucked at? This is what being sober is about. You have that experience of succeeding at the thing you thought you sucked at, and then you realize the whole fucking world is open to you. The possibilities literally are endless of what you can do when you believe that you are capable of doing it, not just because you have a goal, but that you can get started and find ways around obstacles. So for me, being sober is a self-improvement tool that provides us with this amazing possibility for this lesson. Not everybody gets sober and gets this lesson, clearly. Because some people get sober and then they can't even see how they did it or why or what it means. They can't celebrate it. They think it's not that big an achievement. They suck at treats. They won't take any accolades, positive back padding for it. And then they stay stuck, sober, but stuck in a place of not accepting or acknowledging how fabulous it is to have learned that you can do things that you didn't think you could do. If you can learn to be sober, imagine what else you can learn to do. And if you're not sober yet, then imagine that you can't see the pathway on how to get there, so you ask somebody. Like, you don't just walk around in the dark or the fog or any other metaphor that I mix. And you don't sit at home alone in a room with a bottle, because the answer's not in there. So out in the sober world, we connect with other people who are doing it. We find out we're not that alone. We find out that the noise we hear in our head is very common. And we use this as a learning tool to affect every other single fucking part of our life, all of it, everything. Got something in my relationship. It seems hopeless. But then again, I haven't tried 30 things. I wonder what would happen if I tried 30 things. Oh, I try 3 things and then the problem is 70% resolved. Huh. I wonder if everything is like everything. I wonder if I can't figure out how to write a fiction book. I will walk around it for 4 months trying different things. And you might say, well, you could have just gone to the thing that worked. I didn't know what was going to work. I tried what seemed to me like a logical series of steps to get me to a place where I could create and could write every day. And I didn't do it. Until I made myself accountable to somebody else, I couldn't do it. I'm a person with 3 university degrees, as if that means anything. It doesn't. In fact, this hope and pathways thinking is not related to intelligence. And it's not related to commitment. People say, I just haven't made the firm commitment. As soon as I make the firm commitment, what? Then you'll be able to see the path through? If you can't see the path, you have to begin, because then sometimes you can see the next step just from where you are now. Sometimes that's enough. That's the whole driving from Maine to San Francisco thing, right? Sometimes just being in motion means you see the next step that you couldn't have possibly seen from the beginning. And other times you take advice from other people, or like in the case of my physio, you listen to the story of somebody else who has a very similar experience and hear that they got over it. And how do they get over it? Because people ask me this all the time. Oh, he was on day 6 and now he's on day 600. What did he do? And the answer is time. Day by day, he figured out whatever he needed to figure out for that day. There's no magic. The magic is problem solving every day. So much so that when you problem solve something on day 61, you have that in your toolkit, your resilience, so that on day 300, when something bad happens, you've already done a bunch of small bad things. You already know that you can live through these good things. You already know that you don't need alcohol to celebrate. And then when that thing happens over there, it's simply another thing in a series of things that you already know you know how to deal with. Do you understand how empowering that is? Like, what a big goddamn deal that is. So, you know, sober, be sober, quit drinking, save money, lose weight, feel better, sleep through the night. Fabulous. Feel proud of yourself. Unbelievable. And it's like this key that can open up other things. And if you are a person who doesn't see paths, then you ask. And you try to model on other people. Like if you're a person who doesn't see paths, then how about we say this? You have the willingness to begin. You can't see the path. And so you'll try a bunch of things because you can't tell what's going to work. And you'll try things 1 to 10 and keep the parts of each one that are working and keep going and keep layering on supports and keep adding blankets to the bed until you get what works for you. This is what I've talked about before in the layers of support metaphor. I'm sure it's a metaphor. The idea, like I've tried 117 ways to explain how we get sober, what the process is, but I only now am realizing that it's this ability to see a path. And if you can't see a path, it's the willingness to go forward when you can't see the path and try things, even when you don't believe they'll work. Because you know what? What are the alternatives? Decide in advance that everything doesn't work for you when you haven't tried it, or sit alone in a room with a bottle. And if you are further along sober, and this is not specifically about alcohol for you, then let's use writing a book as an example. What are the choices? Walk around in your head for a long time getting nothing done, or change. And if you try something and it doesn't work, then you try something else. And then you try something else. Now, I'm not writing a bestseller. I'm writing a first draft of a book. That's all my goal is for now, is to write the first draft. A bad first draft, in fact. But I'm committed to doing it every day until I finish the bad first draft, because somewhere in that process, I will learn what I need to learn to do the better second. Like right now, I'm doing the best that I can, but it's not good. It's enough, but it's not good. Well, it might be good, but it's not. I'm qualifying it. It might be good, but it still needs more things. And I don't know what those more things are, and I won't know. But I'm okay beginning, and I'm okay doing a shitty first draft. And I'm okay doing a shitty first draft in public, because that's the way I get it done. That's me personally. I figured out for me that accountability is the only way I get anything done. Ever. I used to say I was a teacher pleaser. I used to say that I would only, you know, write if I had a prof telling me that something was due. What I realize now is that I can write as long as I have committed to doing it to somebody else who I don't want to disappoint. It can't just be like emailing your neighbor saying, "Did you run today?" "No, I didn't run today." "Oh, well, we'll try tomorrow." That's not accountability. There's nothing at stake there. Do you know? I'm going to tell you. There was a woman. There was a woman who was having difficulty committing to being sober, but she realized she could do it. She knew the path. She lacked the will to start. And so we made a deal. I don't know if I've told this story before. We made a deal that she would send me $1,000 US and I would hold it in my PayPal account and I would refund it to her in full when she got to 100 days sober. Well, you know what? Then she finds a fucking way to do it. She finds the path. And if she can't find it, she immediately phones somebody and asks, because she didn't want to lose $1,000. And she didn't. And I sent it back to her. And she got to the end. On the other end of the continuum, I have people saying, "I can't email once a day to say the one word sober because I'm too busy." You want to be successful? You require external accountability like I do? You need to be able to see a way through, and if you can't see it, you need to ask. Because any of the other options aren't acceptable. Having a goal and not achieving it, having a goal and not pursuing it, not great. Not having a goal, but having lots of, also there's people who run around with no goal, right? That tends to not be the sober group. We have been pouring an anesthetic on our head, so we have the whole foot nailed to the floor thing figured out. We know how to stand still and get nothing done. We've been doing it for a long time. And then we start to think that it's okay. There's a podcast about this too. It's called Coming Out of the Closet. It's got the word closet in it anyway. It was sort of a pun on being gay and coming out of the closet, but it was really about how your whole world is this big house and we've been living in a closet. And being sober means you come out into the world. And now I realize that some of this can be explicitly taught. This hope thing. And hope is the combination of an ability to begin and having some confidence in your ability to find a path. And if you need help with that, then you get help with it. Me too. Now that the siren is coming to get me, I will leave you. I also thought, you know, I'd do 10 minutes and now it's 30, so I will go. Talk to you soon. Okay, goodbye.